Okay, we're doing the mitzvah tonight of Kriyishma, mitzvah Tavcha, mitzvah Kriyishma Shachas V'Arvus. A lot of times there are mitzvahs that we know, we're so familiar with, but like the Mishil Shasharim writes in his Akdam, in his introduction, the famous introduction of the Mishil Shasharim, that he writes a lot of things that are well known, but sometimes when they're well known, people forget. They forget about it. They don't think about it. They forget about it. I think to use the example, a wife cooks, a wife makes a meal for the husband, or a mother for a child. Shouldn't they say thank you? Shouldn't they show their appreciation? They worked hard. The wife worked hard to prepare the meal. It's obvious you should say thank you, but if you don't remind people, and sometimes people get used to it, and they forget what they need to do. Forget to be appreciative of the other person. Show their appreciation. Say the thank you. Say a compliment. A lot of times they say, let's say, sometimes by children, people a lot of times will point out the child's thing that they need to fix up. But why don't you say a compliment to the child when he's doing something good? Why does the child only have to hear from you only a negative thing? Similarly, we find a Rebbe-student relationship. It shouldn't be that only the Rebbe or the Rebbe should call the parents only to tell them something that something's not doing good. What about telling the parents when something is doing good? We have to remember what that's also important. So here we have the mitzvah of Kriyishma. Now this mitzvah of Kriyishma is so important that this is one of the few mitzvahs that Hashem mitzvah asays, positive commandments that Hashem gave to us 365 days a year. By day and by night. Now, most mitzvahs don't have that.
Not
including Kriyishma Lamita. Kriyishma Lamita is purposes for something else.
It's not a
deraisa, because Kriyishma Lamita is protecting from azikin, from different things. This protection, that's more what the Kriyishma Lamita is for. Now, Kriyishma Lamita can turn into a deraisa. I think the first Tos Rashi and Tosos in Brachas discuss that the guy davened early Friday night. So when did they take the mitzvah Kriyishma that night? When did they do that mitzvah? So then your Kriyishma Lamita could turn into a deraisa. We could have a duel. Repeat Kriyishma. So therefore there's two possibilities when they say repeat Kriyishma. Ideally, I would say, when they say you make an early Shabbat, they repeat Kriyishma, you should repeat Kriyishma the first opportunity when it becomes dark. Like any mitzvah, the reason like Gimel and mitzvah, if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you shouldn't wait till before you go to sleep. Because it's possible, what happened? Did it happen that you fell asleep before saying Kriyishma Lamita? Especially on a Friday night, you might just, you're so knocked out from the whole week. So there's a possibility that you might miss the mitzvah Kriyishma if you wait till the Kriyishma Lamita. If you're a guy and you know that you're so conscientious about the Kriyishma Lamita and you never ever miss the Kriyishma Lamita, now you want to push it off the Kriyishma Lamita, I would still recommend not to, because why should you delay a mitzvah? Why should you delay a mitzvah? You have a mitzvah opportunity, do it right away. And especially when we'll see the reason of the chinuch a little bit. The chinuch explains, we'll say his beautiful words, we'll see it inside, that the kriyishma at night, is when you say shma at night, that's there to help you, that you should, your night should be a fruitful and important, good and productive night, religiously. When you say kriyishma in the morning, it should help you do it today, and today should be productive. That means every morning, every Jew got to get up. Amen. Ladies, they're productive, they do good without the Kriyishma. They're on a high madrega. But the men need an extra chizuk, right? We have to get up and we have to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We have to declare it. We have to say it. And if we remember that, okay, then we'll go ahead. Hopefully we'll conduct ourselves appropriately. What does it mean that Hashem is our God? If how are we going to act during that day? And how are we going to act during that night? But if we wait till at night, if we wait till Kriyishma Lamita, to say that Kriyishma, let's say when the guy's diving early, he's not getting that extra, people need an extra pep to do the right things. He's only going to get the extra pep at the end of the night when he could have used that extra pep to help him throughout the night. If you would actually, if you'd have pepped up, people pep up, you know. And someone tonight had terrible nasal and this and that, congestion. They take the medicine, Bezal Hashem, it clicks in right away. Bezal Hashem, if you're going to take a sprain, you take a Tylenol, you know, hopefully it'll click in right away. So first of all, we'll see Shema in the evening, in the first part of the day, hopefully it'll click in. What he's saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What is that? What does it mean? Say, well, God, he's one. Oh, he rules the world. He's the ruler of the Shemayim Va'aretz. It is, you know, like the Dalit. The Dalit represents the four corners of the world, east, west, and north, south. And the Ches, what do you mean? The Ches is eight, seven heavens. And the Aretz is eight, right? Seven and one, the Ches. Yes, it's one of
If we say that saying Kriya Shema will help us to ask for or maybe even indirectly come to a more productive day and a more productive night.
Correct.
What do we mean by a more productive night? If we say if it's the Shachbata, then we're going to sleep, right?
Right.
So what does that mean more?
Right, very good. So the Gemara, which says B'shachbacha, means that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is during the time that people sleep. Which means it's a time period. Which means you have from the beginning of the night, people start sleeping at the beginning of the night,
mm-hmm.
when it's dark. Yes. People sleep throughout the night. So technically, biblically, in the Torah, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is the whole night. You have the whole night, if you can say Kriya Shema, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's still night. The only thing is, Chacham said, we don't wait, you know, we should say it earlier.
We should have something to do the night of it. They stopped there and they...
Right, right.
They were running, the night was over.
Right, there was a Kriya Shema Shachar. But at night, you know, Rambam said, Kriya Shema, you know, Ash Chatzos, right? Of course, you know, there's concerns if you're going to go too late, you might fall asleep. So therefore, the Chachamim created certain barriers why you say Kriya Shema by a certain time. But biblically speaking, the mitzvah is the whole night. It's just the time frame. The Shach is the time frame, which is the time frame that people sleep. The time frame that the world sleeps, that's the time frame that you should say Kriya Shema, which means from the beginning of the night. Start. Kicks in the time.
Okay.
Time that you have the obligations kicks in, is upon you from the beginning of the night.
As far as that, since we say Shabbat, I mean, that's how the Zaman is defined. But what about the most preferable time to say it? Is saying Kriya Shema the spot by night? It's not meant to be said close to the time. Preferably close to the time we sleep, or you know, people when they're finished davening Marah, they in the time speak of Marah and the Mishnah, they didn't just go home and go to sleep.
No, I don't think so, because you'll see Tosos in the first Tosos in Rachas discusses how they just daven. You know, many people daven earlier. They daven. There's a whole question: what happened with Kriya Shema that night, and all davening in the davening Marah early. Not even before it's night.
Okay.
The Tosis is grappling with what's going on.
Not right.
But so obviously they were davening earlier.
I see.
The general rule is that when you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you have to do a mitzvah right away. So what's the allowance that we go ahead and daven Meir at 10 o'clock, at 10:10? It's only because we know we have, it's called the Kriyas Hashamish, that there's a set time. You have a minyan, number one, and it's a set time that you're not going to come to forget. It's not that it's up to you to decide when you want to daven. For a person, I said it many times, I don't know if I said it here many times, to this audience, if a person knows for whatever reason they're going to be davening b'yechidus, let's say they're traveling somewhere, and they're not going to be able to make it to a minyan, when does the applicant, when should they daven Meir? The answer, as soon as they can. Because
it's night.
As soon as it's night. Why? Because you have a mitzvah to daven. What right do you have to delay a mitzvah? This, you know, it's called Shmartim, it's a mitzvah,
and
mitzvah.
And
you you know, later the minion, that gives you, and you know you're going to go to the minion, you know that you're a minion, you're going to go to the minion, then that gives you a right to postpone the mitzvah. Same thing as Shabbos in the morning. What gives a person a right to have it later? You have a mitzvah. Hashem gave a commandment. Hashem says, say Kriya Shema, right? Obviously, all the commandments Hashem gives us for our benefit. To bring us merit. Say Kriya Shema. What? Shouldn't you do the first opportunity? You know, what does it say? Hashem tells Abraham, say Yitzchak, Yashkim Abraham Baboker. What does Yashkim Abraham Baboker? He got up early in the morning. Zrizin, Matthew, and Litzvos. You got to go to mitzvah right away. There's no such thing. See, this thing, people procrastinating. When it comes to mitzvahs, we have no right to procrastinate. You know, they talk about the, you know, you have to use all your types of traits for the best. Sometimes it's good to procrastinate. You have to procrastinate from doing averos. You have to procrastinate from getting angry. Yes, we can use that means of procrastination in a positive way. You see? That's our job in life. Our job in life is to use different types of needles that we have in a positive, you know, how to use it. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Okay, so the Mechaber says, the Chinuch says, right, women are not obligated to say Kriya Shema. It's a nice thing that women say Kriya Shema. Now you're getting into another area. When it comes to Kriya Shema, we'll see the Chinuch writes, it's a mitzvah that says she has man grama. It's a mitzvah that has a specific time, it has a date, time. Right, mitzvahs that have set times, like sukkah has a set time.
Shofar,
it seems like the women, at least the Ashkenazic women, I don't know about the Sephard, have really maybe accept. It's one of those mitzvahs that there might be no hate. Shofar seems to be old men. Maybe people used to blow shofar maybe for women. I think it's an old. It is a zman grama, but it would seem maybe they possibly have some sort of custom. Possibly that's what we could look into that more.
Megillah also, you can say that.
Oh, it's not Megillah. Oh, no, Megillah is different. The Megillah is different. Yeah, but Megillah the chayiv of Megillah. Why? Because the Gemara says, "Afheim hayu ba'osahnes." Because the women were also saved. Two shot in order to have either they were saved, or the miracle came because of Esther, like you said. So therefore, women are obligated in the even though it's a Zman Grama. That goes against the general rule, Megillah the Chayiv. Megillah with ladies the Chayiv, because, you know, sometimes we'll find exceptions to the rule. Another famous exception is Kiddush on Shabbos. Kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah that says it's a positive commandment to make Kiddush. But yet women are obligated in Kiddush because we have a special drasha of Zach of Hashama, whoever was obligated in the low sasays of Shabbos, in the dunas of Shabbos, is obligated in the asays of Shabbos. So specifically for Shabbos, ladies are obligated in all mitzvahs of Shabbos, just like men, even Shalosh Shudas. They are also obligated in Shalosh Shudas as well, like men. So that explains the mitzvah of why Kriya Shema women are exempt. It's a nice thing for women to say Kriya Shema, but there's no obligation. However, Tefillah, davening, the Gemara says in Brachos, the Gemara Chof, that ladies are obligated to daven. Did the Gemara explains davening? Oh, that's a matter of big question. Why are women obligated to daven? Because everyone needs tefillah, everyone needs to pray, everyone needs help from Hashem, everyone needs rachamim, something universal, and women are obligated to pray. The question is, what are women obligated to pray? Are women obligated to pray as much as men, or not? Now, clearly, Ma'ariv is something that the Gemara discusses regarding men. There was that we accepted Ma'ariv as a chova, but the ladies never accepted that as a chova to daven Ma'ariv. So ladies don't have an obligation to daven Ma'ariv. The question, as we said, is Shachas and Mincha. Ideally, they would daven Shachas and Mincha would be ideal, and technically there are a lot of halachas, exactly what, you know, their allowances of skipping is even more than men. Meaning, like you'll see, by men, we never would skip the Birkas Kriya Shema. Now this fits in very well with our discussion here. We said women are exempt from time bound. They're exempt from the mitzvah of Shema. They're exempt from the mitzvah of Shema. So Shema is preceded by brachos. Those brachos of Yotzeh HaMa'oros and HaBocheh Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ahava. So technically, if a lady doesn't have enough time in the morning, she technically has a right to skip those brachos. But she should say V'yaseh V'nochon Kayim V'yosher, because that is the bracha of Geula, and she should be somer Geula with tefillah. So technically a lady could technically daven in the morning. She should say Berachas HaTorah. Ladies should say Berachas HaTorah. Men say Berachas HaTorah. She should say Berachas HaTorah. Says brachos. Technically she may not
do the bracha for that.
Oh, that's the other in the Berachas Shoshana Ketzono. The Berachas HaTorah, they make the same bracha like us in the
Torah.
The chayv to learn, right? The chayv to, because we have the obligation to learn Torah. That's what we mean with Shloah Sana Isha. We thank Hashem you gave us more mitzvahs, more opportunities, more obligations. But we have to recognize it. It's something that we have to take advantage of. Not that we, you know what? I bet people, Hashem made people not like a lady. They have more obligations, but they don't do what this
was.
You're
not going to do the dishes.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. So you mean we're supposed to be learning what? That's what we're doing here tonight. So technically, a lady, if she's very, what do you know, very little time she has for davening, which she should say brachos. She could skip Baruch Shama. Don't tell anybody I said that. Right? But I'm saying, I don't know if I should tell you publicly, but or on this level. But it would seem to me when I remember seeing, everyone can look it up themselves. I'm not opposed to it, but this is what I recall, but people can look it up. But there are opinions that would allow a lady, but sometimes if you tell a lady to say too much, there's a concept of fast removal, if you tell too much and you get nothing. But if you can say technically, you know what, you could skip Baruch Shema, Asher, Yishtabach, and you go straight to, say the first part of Shema, you said brachos, and you said Berachas HaTorah, say Shema Yisrael Hashem Hakim Hashem Echad, just that pasuk, and go straight to Yasav and Nachum Tam Yosh, and go Shemoneh Esrei. Pretty shortcut I gave, no Alan. Shortcut, right? Because technically, because we're getting in tefillah, they're getting in Shemoneh Esrei. Because the Mishnah says the chayif in tefillah. But others will say that maybe tefillah by women, the obligation was never an obligation of Shemoneh Esrei like men, of Shachas and Mincha. Just any type of tefillah. Let's explain that. What does that mean? There's a major dispute among the early Rishonim, whether prayer every day is a biblical obligation or a rabbinic obligation. Okay? So, if it's a biblical, the Rambam, right? Man is old, it's a biblical obligation. It's a biblical obligation of men and women to pray. What is your biblical obligation? Now we're as a basin, we love the Baha'u'llah, is to serve Hashem with all your heart. That's one of the psalms. So how do you do that? How do you
praise Him?
Thank Him. Praise Him. You ask for something. Right? You took so you serve Him with your heart. So if we look at the Ram, we find over here in the midst of tefillah. Mitzvah tefillah. What is a mitzvah tefillah? Minat Torah. What do you got to do minat Torah and tefillah? So he said, the Rambam says like this. The Chinuch quotes in Mitzvah Tefillah Megimel. The number of prayers a day, number of tefillos, in the text is not minat Torah. There's no set time minat Torah for tefillah. Any time during the day. Kamakom, the obligation is to beseech Hashem every day and thank Him. Recognize that everything belongs to Him. And he says, because everything technically is under his control, and he had the ability to fulfill every request. It seems like you can read, understand the Rambam, that the Rambam is saying. Okay. But so technically, if you go ahead and you say, so this would be the mitzvah, to say something about, to ask Hashem for something, recognize that He is the God, right? You say, Hashem, you should help me, you have the ability, you should help me. So that, the ladies in Europe, that's the type of thing that they said. They had a prayer in Yiddish. But tefillah is the whole asha. Practically, you could fill the mitzvah of tefillah in any language. Mm-hmm. So that's the ladies went ahead, and that was what they did. So that's why, this is milchus, this is dairy.
You didn't eat meat, I didn't eat meat.
I just want to bring it to your attention. This is, the educated consumer is always important. So that would be the biblical obligation, and therefore many women rely on that. But they just say a short tefillah. Yes.
If I didn't listen carefully, but when Robert Friedman was saying about that we should, the ladies say Birkas Krishna, I thought.
Ladies might skip in case of need. They have an allowance to skip the Birchas Krishna, which in contrast to men that never would skip Birchas Krishna.
But if it's preferable that you say, if they have time, that they should say Birchas Krishna. I thought Krishna itself was a Krishna's Montgomery, the woman of the Kuros.
Correct.
And if so, why are they saying that anything at all during that? Why aren't they just, if there's a mitzvah of saying tefillah, why would they say Birchas Krishna or Krishna or anything at all?
Okay. Very good. So there's a concept that women have a right to do mitzvahs that they're exempt from. There's a concept that women do mitzvahs that ain't a mitzvah, so they're not commanded, but they can do it. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in the famous Shuva that they have to recognize they're doing it, but they're not obligated like men. They shouldn't say that, you know what, we're obligated like men, and that's why we're doing it. They have a right to do mitzvahs that they're exempt from, but they have to know. They have to call a spade, they have to be honest, and to say that that they're not obligated to do it, but they want to do it anyway. The problem with some of the feminists were that they wanted to say they're obligated just like the men, in all the sense. That, Rav Moshe, that's kfira. It's going against the tradition. Tradition is that ladies are exempt from mitzvahs that have a set time. Now the ladies want to go ahead, and they want to go ahead and they want to put on a talis, or so on and so forth, put on tefillin, or so forth, so that, you know, those are mitzvahs that have set times, and they want to say they're obligated just like men. And that's a problem. If ladies understand that they're not obligated like men, but they want to do the mitzvahs anyway, so generally speaking, would we allow them to do those, to most mitzvahs that they're exempt from? So therefore, Shema would be appropriate. Right.
You're saying if a woman wants to do it?
Oh, excellent. So talis and tefillin is unique, that women don't, we tell women not to do tefillin, because I said most mitzvahs, I was trying to be careful with my language, because we could check the videotape on that, the machine. Someone said yesterday, the best student is the recorder. I don't agree. The best student is the teacher, but they don't miss anything. But the best student is really the best student is everyone here tonight. That's really the best student. You know, this is not where things, because when people talk back, people bring up questions, that's where the chiddush comes out. Things become clearer. That's where right. Now
the children, we tell them not to do
because tefillin required a goof nugget. Tefillin requires, it's hard enough for us men as well to do tefillin. Therefore we don't put on tefillin the whole day. because you know, if we emit gazes or anything, there's concerns of emitting gazes with the tefillin on. So therefore, since this mitzvah has requires extra special carefulness to keep the body clean, so and we ourselves have difficulty when we're obligated, so we're not going to put someone who's exempt from it into a mitzvah that they might come to have a, you know, do something which would not be in respect with the mitzvah is done. So that's what tzitzit, it would seem, I would think tzitzit, see tzitzit is unique because it's a question of man's, you know, lady doesn't wear man's clothing, right? But if you would technically create, I know, I used to use the example of pink talus, but men wearing pink talus, but if you would use a talus, if you make a talus, technically, if you would make a talus, it's clearly defined as a lady's garment, and it would, no one would, and no man would, it's not a man's garment at all. Technically, I don't see, I'm not coming to create a new thing over here, I don't know that there would be technically any problem, because it's, they're exempt from the mitzvah, they want to do the mitzvah. The problem is that people will start, why do they want to do that? What is their, see, that's what is their motivation? Exactly. So what does it mean we want to be equal? Do we want to say, of course we have the love of the mitzvahs, and we want to do the mitzvah because we appreciate, we recognize the mitzvah so great, even though we know we're exempt. Then there will be one question. But Rav Moshe is saying that the people who want to wear the talasim, that's not their motivation. Their motivation is exactly what you said. They want to be equal. They want to say, we have a professor here also that can tell us. They want to be equal. They want to say we're obligated just like the men. And that's distortion of the truth. Everyone got to know, everyone has their role. Everyone has their place. There's a place for everybody. I mean, almost everybody. But even the sinners, people who are doing terrible sins, terrible abominations, we still want them, we want them to do tshuva, right? Still a place for them. We want them to do tshuva and repent. Rav Moshe writes here that women should not think in no way the fact that they're exempt from certain mitzvahs does that show that they're less kadosh than men.
So they
want to go down. Yeah, what's wrong? So they want to down where? Where do you want to down it? At home, of course. They should daven when it's a beautiful thing. They should daven. And davening is one of those things that they're obligated. And some will say that they need to daven mincha. They need to daven shacharis. So definitely they should do it. See, the question is, you see, obviously, I would think, if we think ideally, a lady, if we could bring the ladies to the madrega, that when they have time, they would want to daven. They want to be able to, they want to connect with Hashem, and they recognize, listen, Hashem has the ability to do everything, so shouldn't I call out to Hashem? Shouldn't I daven to Hashem? Shouldn't I express myself to Hashem? And look, what does it say in the plastic? It says, but another passage, Hashem is close to everyone who calls out him. Hashem, listen to the prayers. So wouldn't it be every girl, every lady should go want to go ahead and want to call out and want to daven when they have free time. The question is, are ladies inspired enough? You know, everyone needs to be inspired. You know, I think there was a whole thing called being inspired, right? A whole documentary called Being Inspired. The question is, how do we get inspired? How do men get inspired? How do ladies get inspired? But they should want to go in and use their time when they have time to daven. That's one of the things that they're obligated, they should do. Yes.
If we say that a person Rosh Chodesh in the morning, who doesn't say Yal Abiyavo, is not yet say Tefillah, that Tefillah, then is there some kind of in the midst of people who if we say that, like the Rambam who says that Tefillah is a mitzvah from the Torah, what kind of shiur is there? In other words, when is a person yotze? What kind of shiur is required for a person to be yotze Tefillah, if Tefillah is a midaraisa?
Right, so it would sound like, let's say, with the Rambam here, the quote I have here, The Rambam says, you beseech, you ask Hashem something, you recognize, see, it sounds like the Rambam says, the Torah, to beseech God every day, to thank Him and to recognize that everything belongs to Him, and He has the ability to fulfill everything.
Shall call Nebedevro. Someone says,
but you didn't really ask for anything in Shall call Nebedevro. You just recognize God's creating ability that He creates everything, but you didn't ask for anything. It's to beseech. Rambam says, to ask Him, to beseech Him for something. So what is very well known is that they say, if you see Birchas HaTorah, the Birchas HaTorah says, V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu, that's the Birchas HaRosna. You should make sweet the Torah. That's a beseeching. And we recognize Baruch HaTorah Hashem Elokeinu Hashem, Shavuach HaBana, we talk about Hashem's greatness, and so we're recognizing his greatness, and we're asking for something, we're praising Him. No, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, He's the King of the world, so that means everything belongs to Him. So by saying and having a bakasha and having a request would seem to help to, you recognize His ability, His greatness, and you're asking Him for something, that's a tefillah, that's a prayer. That's a prayer in the Torah. So if you say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you fulfill the biblical obligation of prayer. So therefore, you're getting into another interesting shaila. I want to share with you something. The Shabbos, I would... Question, interesting question.
I want to ask you another word, too, before you
start. Yes, no problem.
When you said mincha, and joking about shacharit, mincha, one thing, and then you say saying ma'ariv is the what?
I said that ma'ariv, the lady is never, it's meaning...
They didn't accept the what? You used the Yiddish?
Yes, because the Gemara Brachas discusses a question, whether the prayer service of ma'ariv was an obligation, like shacharit and mincha, or was it a mitzvah, but a lower level obligation? A lower level, it wasn't an obligation like the other prayers.
And what was the word
chovah, I think? The Gemara talks about, is it a chovah or a rishus? Oh, is so it an obligation?
Like the
chovah is an obligation. The chovah is an obligation. Rishus is more of you have a right, it's appropriated, you have a right to do it. Tosis is optional, but Tosis discusses whether it's more than a rishus. Even if you would say it, but at the end of the day, the Gemara says that the men have even if you hold that prayer is optional or not as obligated as not such an obligation like the other prayer, but we've accepted the halacha is we've accepted upon ourselves like an obligation. Meaning we don't look at the prayer of evening prayer any less than the morning afternoon. We've accepted upon ourselves as an obligation. But the ladies have never accepted that. So that's clear, ladies don't need to, that would seem to be pretty much clear that ladies don't need to daven ma'ariv. The question is regarding shacharis and mincha.
No, but that was my question. I just want to know what the word is. That's
just the background of the words.
So is it advisable the ladies to daven shacharis and mincha?
And mincha.
So it should be both.
It should be both if they could do it. If they could do it. Provided they could do it. You know,
Because the Rambam, Torah one tefillah,
right, and you could, right, correct.
And we know men are obligated in all three tefillahs, the Rambam, at least.
Right.
So the women would be two.
So the question is, if you say the women are obligated like the men, in what was originally a chov, said I'll be shachas and mincha. Meaning, historically, shachas and mincha was always was prayers that men were obligated as an obligation. Ma'ariv was, there was a time period that it was more of a, less of an obligation. But then they accepted upon as an obligation. So the question is, if we say that, now, the Mishnah says that also women are obligated in prayer just like men. Sorry, I should say it like that. Women are obligated in prayer. Question is, what does that mean? On the possibility they're obligated just like men, so that would mean shachas and mincha. Tefillah, obligated in tefillah. If you say it like men, saying birchas kriyashma is not tefillah. right? That's, now, interesting to note that the commentaries also discuss that Birchas Kriya Shema is unique. Because on the one hand, it's called the Brachas of Kriya Shema, but on the other hand, it's not in the normal, regular way of Bracha before a mitzvah. You know, here we're learning the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The question is, usually, before you do a mitzvah, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem, 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 Hashem. And here, what do? We should say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hashem, 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 Kriya Shema. We don't say that less. So that's a question that's discussed in the Achronim. Why don't we say, why doesn't the mitzvah
discuss?
I don't think the Chinam says that. But why doesn't the mitzvah? Right, but the question is, you make the bracha, but is the bracha focused in the regular way you make a bracha before a mitzvah? What is the mitzvah? See, that's the chinuch will discuss, the mitzvah chinuch will discuss, is the mitzvah min HaTorah just a pasuk of, what's the biblical mitzvah Shema? Is it just a pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? That's the biblical mitzvah? Or is it incorporate the whole first parasha of the Haftah Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha? That would be the first parasha. Would it be the first two parashios? Would it be Vayim Shemoa? Or would it be all three parashios? What is the obligation? So, the chinuch goes that the obligation in the Torah is just the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the obligation. But maybe I'll hold off on that meanwhile, because we're doing a lot of good stuff over here. I want to share with you what I saw at the Shabbos, which Mitzvah Reish Mem Ches, if you don't mind, volume 2. It's very easy to remember. It's Mitzvah Reish Mem Ches. And Reish Mem Ches discusses the mitzvah shalom, that a person should not, there's a prohibition not to act in a way that will cause a person to be a benzo or a mora. But independent, just for that, make yourself comfortable. But independent of that, there's a, and that's learned out from a pasuk Mosotu al Adam. There's a prohibition to do something, to eat something, to act in a way, what do you call it, a glutton or whatever, to eat and drink in a way that will, you go ahead, that will cause death. A person who's a young boy, over bar mitzvah, if he's going to go ahead, and he's going to eat and drink and steal, you know, certain technicalities, what comes, the person comes a ben sora mora, and now the Torah doesn't give a punishment unless it gives you the warning first. So where is the warning? You don't go to Pashkit say, Torah says, Ki yeish ben sora mora. The guy has a child who's a ben sora mora. The question is, where did the Torah say he can't be a ben sora mora? Where did the Torah say that he can't act that way, that he should get such a strong punishment? So here it's, so the chinuch, following the Rambam, the Reish Mem Ches said, from the pasuk lo sochu al hadam, don't eat, and eating, or a drinking, that will come to bring death as a result of that eating. You know, he eats a certain amount of meat, he drinks a certain amount of wine, instead take the halachas, what a kid, he steals it, and whatever the halachas are, that's the prohibition for ben sora mora. But, this is called a mitzvah shebaklalos. That means the lav, some lav from the Torah, incorporate many things. Not just specifically, like the Torah says, don't eat in the veil. That's very focused. Don't eat the veil. Don't eat it. The carcass, an animal that died, don't eat it. So you get mal. A person will get mal because if he eats that carcass. But here when the Torah says, this mitzvah, lo soch l'adam, there are many things that are incorporated in that according to the Kabbalah, according to the Torah Sheba'al Peh. And one of those things that the Chinuch writes, he said, I'm going to mention to you some of the things that the Chachamim say are incorporated in this lab. And also there's a major discussion because something that's generally not so specific in the Torah, if it incorporates other things, they wouldn't get a punishment on such a prohibition. Because it's not a specific prohibition for that particular thing, because it's a general. But for whatever reason, when it's not out with the discussion tonight, obviously there's a punishment of Ben Sora Mora, even though this lav of Osoch Adam refers to other things as well. So he says, one of the things is there's a warning, you shouldn't eat a behemoth before it dies. Like Eber Menachai. You know, if a guy goes ahead, an animal's it's still alive, and you want to go ahead and eat from behemoth before it died. So where is the prohibition? One of the places of the prohibition? While the animal has blood, meaning represented, there's life in the animal, you can't eat from it. And other and then he says other things. He says, Sanhedrin, that killed somebody. They're not allowed to have to fast that. Why? Lo sohu aladam. They killed somebody. They can't go ahead and eat. They have to fast. Which, and then he said, right. But then maybe sometimes their Torah repeats it. Gives multiple surah for something. And also it says you shouldn't taste something until you pray. Shloyitom, this is a source that you shouldn't go in and eat anything before you pray, because losochu ahadam, you shouldn't eat anything before you take care of, you pray for your life, that so you should be able to, like he quotes to the Gemara Brachas, the Yerom Ebeis, losochu kodem shetispalu adimchem. Don't pray, don't eat before you prayed for your life. You prayed for your blood, it's your first, it's not a prayer. So sochlu, don't eat al adam before you prayed for your, that you should live. It's not appropriate that you should go ahead and eat before you prayed for your, now. The question is, this prohibition, is this min ha-Torah? Not to eat before the Arvin? Before you pray. Now, first of all, why do we question is, this all will do it now. The Chinuch, the way if you read the simple reading of the Chinuch, he says, I'm going to tell you some things that the Chachamim explained that are included in this law. Which, and then he runs into this, and he says, but for our focus is not to eat before davening. So now, the Chinuch would seem to imply eating before davening would be a biblical prohibition. Very serious. Now, that only would be true if you hold like the Rambam, that says prayer is what? Min ha-Torah. If you hold prayer is min ha-Torah, so then you could say that this prohibition of eating before davening is also min ha-Torah. But if prayer is rabbinic, so could the prohibition to eat before prayer is min ha-Torah? If the whole idea of prayer is rabbinic every day? Doctor? Can't be. So therefore, the Mincha Chinuch points out, this opinion that the Chinuch says that you can't eat before praying, and which seems to be the language of the Chinuch seems to be min ha-Torah, he's understanding it as a min ha-Torah, would only be according to the Rambam that holds prayer is min ha-Torah. But if no prayer is rabbinic, it won't be prohibited min ha-Torah. And even if you hold prayer is min ha-Torah, it's not clear cut that this, what the Gemara says, that you can't eat before prayer, is that a biblical thing, or maybe it's called an asmachta. What's an asmachta? Asmachta is that the Chachamim made certain enactments. They like to see that there's a hint to it in the Torah, that they have a pasuk in the Torah that also is lending itself that, even though it's not that the Torah is not telling you that, but the Torah is alluding to it. So you could say, so many learn that many learn it's an asmachta. This drasha not to eat before you daven based on this pasuk is not a real biblical interpretation. It's an asmachta that the rabbis found to hang their enactment on that they like to do.
But the other mitzvahs that are mentioned within Lotokhla.
Right, so I have to look those up. Are those biblical or not, right? Right, that's a good point. But he said, interesting to say, Rov Rishonim hold Tfilas Rabbanah. Just, most Rishonim, most early authorities say hold prayers rabbinic. The Rambam holds, Rambam's a big man, those prayers min ha-Torah. Now, and he wants to say that the Rambam did not indicate, when he spoke about the prohibition, you shouldn't eat before davening, he did not say that it's included in this prohibition of losochu ha-adam. And therefore he wants to say that the Rambam, it would seem that the Rambam holds this in asmach, it's a rabbinic prohibition, but the Ra'ah in Brachos, on the Hagos of the Chinuch says that this is that it would be b'nai Torah. So, now, it's interesting, he says, see, so the Rambam says, one time, any way you would say, ask Hashem for something, and recognize in your prayer that He rules the world and He has the ability to fulfill your request, that's the prayer. You could, that's in Europe. One of the ladies, he waited and we said, later on, obligated prayer. But some say, they just obligated to the biblical prayer, which would be a short prayer.
So why do you have to do three times a day?
Well, that's three times a day, everyone holds rabbinic. No one holds prayer three times a day is obligated. It's minat Torah. It's biblical. Everyone holds that three times a day is rabbinic. The question is, the whole idea of praying every day, is it biblical or not? Is that clear or not? Does that answer your question? Three times a day is rabbinic. Even the Rambam. But the Rambam says prayer is biblical. That's only one time a day, and any way you want. As long as you recognize that God has the ability to answer your prayers, He's the like Melech Olam, and you're asking for something. That's it. That's the prayer, that's the biblical prayer. You see, what comes out from here, you'll see there's a whole discussion. You know, we have to research it a little more. I'm not a coffee man. But the question of whole discussion, could you have a coffee with sugar, with milk before davening or not? Now, to appreciate the question, is now that we learned the background, I think we can appreciate the question. Because if you have, the question is, to have water before davening is no problem. You want to have water, that's not, you didn't go ahead, and you didn't go ahead and take care of yourself before you dive in, because having water is not really something of real pleasure. But if you go ahead and you have a coffee, a geschmack coffee, with milk, with sugar, I'm not saying it's a problem. I'm saying there are people that said there is a problem. I'm not coming here to pass it. We've got to look it up more.
What's the thing with mezonos?
Right, so it's serious, mezonos also. You're not allowed to have mezonos. And we'll discuss it. We have a chassidish man at the chair. We've got to talk about it. Where does mezonos come in? We're going to talk about your question. Good. Excellent question. Technically speaking, you're not allowed to have mezonos before davening. You're not allowed to have, how can we have, we're going to have when we have pleasures before davening. It says, you can't eat before you pray. You can't eat before
you pray. So you have to say, your name is Onos, you pray, now you eat
Onos. So we said, but prayer, the burden of Onos is not prayer. The burden of Onos is recognizing that God created the food, but you're not asking for anything. You did not ask Him, and that's not enough. But the hefter.
So Brichas HaTorah would be considered.
Brichas HaTorah would be a prayer, because there's a supplication, there's a request in your Brichas HaTorah. Hashem, please make sweet the Torah in our mouths, in the mouth of our family, and so on and so forth. There is a supplication. There is a request.
So you could. I mean, you don't need to wear tefillin to say that. So you can say that, and then you can eat.
Oh, so very good. So now we're getting into Alan. That might take care of the. If we listen to what everyone wants, we'll address Alan's point. First, we'll get to Alan's point in a second. To answer David's point, what is the heter? The chassidim eat Shabbos morning. Do they eat before that? Do they have a nice kokosh cake or something?
Some people are eating on a shachar.
Some people only have a shachar. Very good. But they're concerned of because achila. Because there's another question that the mitchasana brings down: is it that you can't eat or you can't taste? Because he said the rechinuch said you can't taste before davening, and there seems to be a question. He says. It seems to be a question if it's tasting or if it's more than that, or it has to be more of like of an eating. That might be where the shahakal comes in, David. But the answer is explain the chassidim that eat shachas. Are there chassidim, David, that eat shachas in the morning, Shabbos morning? What's the answer? Tzadik the Heter is
the Mekilish.
Okay. So what's the davening? So what's the Heter? Because it's a halacha that says if a person is weak and he won't be able to pray with Havana, and that's why he's very weak and he needs to eat. So therefore he's not eating for the purpose of what, of his own self enjoyment, because I want to eat. I'm eating because I want to daven properly. I'm taking care of myself before I'm praying. It's all for the purpose of praying properly. So I presume that's the after, that's what people are using while they're eating before davening, because the only question is how honest is the person with himself. You know, technically that would be you only can eat exactly what you need. It would seem to me, I'm a real lipstick, I said, right? You only can eat what you need to get that level that you'll be able to concentrate properly at the prayer. So it's not so simple. I'm just saying that could be the allowance, but that why the Hasidim, I never really looked in the Hasidic Svara, what will be the answer to eat before davening on the such and such. But you can't just make away with the halacha. They have to be aware of the halacha. They have to figure out exactly if it fits, you know, that allowance. Eating all the time. That's what people are honest with themselves. Is that really why they're eating? They're having an extra piece. Okay. But to address Alan's point, I want to say like this. The people, even the people that are eating, if they say Berachas HaTorah first, they'll get away with any possibility that eating before davening is a biblical prohibition, according to where if you learn the Chinuch means, according to the Rambam that says prayers min HaTorah, and according to, if you read the Chinuch, the simple reading of the Chinuch would mean that you can't go ahead, and there might be a biblical prohibition to eat before prayer. So if you say Berachas HaTorah, you have fulfilled the biblical obligation of prayer. Now if you go ahead and eat, now you're getting into a rabbinic issue. Now you got to know what the halacha is. The first thing is, see, that's why a lot of ladies, I think the ladies, will not eat in the morning until they say Berachas HaTorah. So let's say brachas. It doesn't have to be Berachas HaTorah. Technically, even women are supposed to say Berachas HaTorah also. When they say brachas, Berachas HaShachar, and when they say Hirasom, that last brachas, Vayamah v'shein ha-me'ein ha-shum ha-papoi, Hirasom v'necha, Shetagalein ha-mitzah, Dabkein ha-mitzah, Tim ha-dechil 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 It also would fulfill the biblical obligation of prayer. Because it's a supplication. You're asking for something, it's a recognition of Hashem, is Melech HaOlam, he's king of the world, that also would be able to do it. You could, so say brachos first, and the ladies, meaning we said ladies is the whole question, they're obligated to Shachas and Mincha. We said they're obligated to pray. The question is, how much do they have to pray, right? The Mishnah says, B'chayav Mitzvila. So maybe, and many women for hundreds of years had a custom just to say a short prayer, right? The ladies in Europe, most of them did not pray Shachas Mincha, I would think. Is that correct? Any data on that, Professor?
No.
I don't think they prayed the Shachas Mincha. Many of them did not know how to read.
Story that Kala on the chair of his goes to shul. She can't find shul.
She never davens, she's afraid. So what she do? She said a prayer in Yiddish. You can ask your mother would know what the people said 100 years ago, right? They can tell you.
Don't tell them not to say that.
No, it comes from Sam dynasty. I mean, it's from the great Hasidic. He's from the biggest Hasidic. No, I'm saying he comes from the biggest Hasidic. Very famous. So they got whatever they got. They said a prayer. But that, so Alan, I would say, so women today would come out. Women, this prohibition it could be a biblical prohibition if we learn that way, even on the women too, to eat before davening on the side. Meaning, if all the cards are stacked, like the minority opinion of the Rambam that prayer is min HaTorah. And if we learn that eating before davening is also min HaTorah, there's like a sex fake over here. There's many shrekes over here. But anyways, even whatever way you go, women should, now a lot of women are not davening, you know, till they'll daven Shachas HaMincha, whether they will or not. But they should, it would come out, according to our learning, it makes a lot of sense, they should not eat anything until they say brachos. What is the heter? Now, the given is they're obligated in prayer. At least any amount, even if it's a short prayer, that's the given. Correct? And there's another halacha on the same. Now let it eat before prayer. Now, to say that the eating before prayer is only on the men, that's hard to say. Why should it be only on the men? Oh, very good. So men have an obligation to say Shemona Esrei. That's no, therefore they can't eat before Shemona Esrei. But if the men, even the men, whoever's eating before davening, if they're a man, they should definitely say brachas first. Because of what we said. Because it definitely, we're moving out of a biblical question. We're moving into a biblical, but definitely there's no allowance. There's no allowance for a man to eat before davening, in my humble opinion, unless the guy is weak, he's old, and he's afraid he won't have kavana, and A, B, and C. But it's not so simple to be able to, it's, by the way, it's theory.
Okay.
I just want to bring it to your attention. But there's no allowance for a man to eat before davening unless he needs to know what is the allowance. Why should he be allowed to eat before davening? What's the allowance? Yes.
If a man just said brachos, it didn't have any special, didn't have any special attention to the yotzei, it's for the rise of a prayer, wouldn't he be not yotzei with brachos because we men have accepted Shemona Esrei as their prayer, and in which case saying brachos is. Apparently they wouldn't be yotzei unless they had a mind.
You're asking a good question. Do they have kavana not to be yotzei with the brachos? Do they have when they say brachos haTorah, do they have in mind not to be yotzei mitzvah min haTorah?
Yes, it seems so. Since they have in mind to be yotzei, they're free of Shemona Esrei, and it seems like they would, if they didn't have any special kavana, they would have in mind not to be yotzei.
It's a good point. It's a good point what you're saying. Similar to the question by Kiddush and Shabbos. You know, we would think, you know, we don't want to be yotzei. Do we want to be yotzei in the midst of Kiddush by just saying it in Shemona Esrei? We want to be yotzei in the midst of Kiddush by saying it over a cup of wine in Atzilut. Similar idea you want to say. Maybe we don't want to be yotzei in the midst of you want to say maybe we don't want to be yotzei mitzvah tefillah by saying it in the brachos. You want to be yotzei mitzvah tefillah in, but it could be that the mere fact you're doing an act of prayer, you are doing prayer, you are serving Hashem with your heart, you are saying a supplication, you are reckless, you are doing to say that you don't want to be yotzei mitzvah min haTorah when you, that's what you're doing. I don't know that you could say that, meaning. Sometimes we do say that. We do say you have kavana not to be yotzei in a mitzvah.
Yes.
So here you want to say I have kavana not to be yotzei in a mitzvah.
Exactly.
That's a good question. It's a good question.